A couple of months ago, the Journal of the American Medical Association published a study that looked at the brains of 111 deceased National Football League players. 110 of those brains were found to have chronic traumatic encephalopathy, or CTE, a degenerative disease. Learning more about the damage to brains of people who've died has helped in making significant advances in related research. But this week, a study by Boston University was published that researchers hope could lead to massive, rapid progress. They believe they've made a discovery that can lead to CTE being diagnosed in living patients. Jonathan Cherry is a Boston University School of Medicine postdoctoral fellow who co-wrote the study. And Jonathan, at its core, how big a difference can be made by being able to study the brains of living people?
So the major differences are just access, obviously. So in a living person, it's much, much harder for us to look or determine what's going on in them as opposed to what we've been doing previously with all the post-mortem work. Obviously, it's a lot easier to access those samples. So the goal is to find a way for us to observe living people, observe what's going on in their brain, and make differences.
Jonathan, obviously this is a huge discovery, but are there any gaps? Are we trying to make it more of an advancement than it is, at least right at this stage?
I would say that what we discovered is not the final end-all be-all of biomarkers for CTE. It's a very complex disease, and likely you're going to get a panel of biomarkers, 4, 5, 6, that all account for different parts of the disease. So yeah, we found something very interesting here, but it's not the final stage. A lot more work needs to be done.
What does a brain that has been hit with CTE look like compared to either a brain that is healthier or even a brain that is showing signs of Alzheimer's?
So there's a couple different things. Just kind of on the overall appearance of it, the brains get shrunken down, they atrophy, so you lose tissue, and they look just kind of like a, you know, more raisin-like, if that's the best way to describe it. Like a normal brain will kind of be smooth, and you'll just lose volume in it. There's holes in your brain where fluid goes through, and those get really, really large as well. But just on the overall macroscopic level, it's really tough for us to say a brain has CTE or not, so it becomes more scientific, and we have to actually look for particular proteins to really say it's CTE versus Alzheimer's.
How much progress has been made in just a short period of time, and what do you think makes the difference with that sort of progress? Why is it able to be made?
We're making a lot more progress, and it's definitely ramping up right now. So we really didn't know too much about this disease even 10 years ago. And now that we know so much more about it, it seems like it's an exponential growth. So as we learn more, more doors open up for us, and then we can explore those pathways, and even more exciting stuff ends up occurring. And it's just the more we learn and the more people jump on board to help us learn too. So it's really exponential at this point.
When people who are non-athletes show signs of CTE, is there any correlation there in terms of age, frankly? Because we're sort of stunned by some of these football players who seem to show the signs at such a young age. Is a non-athlete who has CTE likely to show it at an age we're more likely to see Alzheimer's, for example?
So CTE is the disease of head trauma. Someone who has never received hits to the head is not going to develop CTE. Even someone who's had maybe one or two major concussions or major head injuries, they will not develop CTE. We've shown this time and time again. It's only people that have this repetitive head trauma. So it's limited to athletes, military, and some other specific interest groups that, you know, fall into those categories. And when you start seeing people that have CTE-like symptoms, so that's a very, very broad term, could be cognition, behavior, mood stuff, that those generally probably fall under other diseases like Alzheimer's, frontal temporal dementia, Parkinson's disease. So to attribute it specifically to CTE, it's probably inappropriate in people that have never received head trauma.
So at this point, based on the progress you've made on this, what do you think the next important step is to find based on what we're talking about with diagnosing CTE during life? Is there a next step you're hoping to find that could lead to bigger advances, that makes a logical next step?
Yeah, so in terms of next step for this most recent discovery, it's applying these results to a larger sample size and really proving everything with more people. But even going farther than that, it's to start identifying it early in people so we can start understanding what makes them different from people who might not develop CTE, what makes them different from people who are completely normal. So once we start determining how they're different in the living population, we can start to target therapies and ultimately cure CTE.
Jonathan Cherry is a Boston University School of Medicine postdoctoral fellow who co-wrote the study on identifying CTE in living people.